भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 8, Text number 49. 48? Okay. What's the first word on the board there, please? Okay. Got it. Yeah, thank you. Shri Manava Uchu Manabaha Vayam Tava Nidesha Karanaha Diti Jena Deva Paributa Sattvaha Bhavata Kalaha Saha Upasamritaha Prabhu Karavama Te Kim Anushadi Kinkaran Shri Manava Uchu Manavo Vayam Tava Nidesha Karino Tithi Jena Deva Parabhuta Setava Bhavata kalasa upasamritha prabhu karavama te kim anushari kinkaran Shri Manava Uchu Manavo vayam tava nidesha karano Titi jena deva paributa sattvam Bharata kalasa upasam Excuse me. Bhavata kalasa upasamritha prabhu. Karavama te kim anushadi kinkaran. Shri Manava Uchu. Manavo vayam tava nidesha karano Niti jena deva paributa setavam. Bhavata kalasa upasamrita prabhu. Karavama te kim manushadi kinkaran. Please chant. Ladies, please. Anyone else want to try? Sri Manava Uchu, all the Manus offered their respectful obeisances by saying, Manava, the leaders of the universal affairs, especially in connection with giving knowledge to humanity about how to live lawfully under the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vayam we, Tava, of your Lordship, Nidesha Karinaha, the carriers of, the carriers of the orders, Diti Jena, by Hiranyakashipu, the son of Diti, Deva, O Lord, Paribhuta, disregarded, Setava, whose laws of morality concerning the Varnashram system in human society, Bhavata, by your lordship, Kalaha, the most envious rascal, Saha, he, Upasamrita, killed, Prabhu, O Lord, Karavama, shall we do, Te, your, Kim, what? Anushadhi, please direct, Kinkaran, your eternal servants. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Translation. All the Manus offered their prayers as follows. No, not yet. I'll go through it and then we can do it one by one. All the Manus offered their prayers as follows. As your order carriers, O Lord, we, the Manus, are the lawgivers for human society. But because of the temporary supremacy of this great demon, Hiranyakashipu, our laws for maintaining Varnashram Dharma were destroyed. O Lord, now that you have killed this great demon, we are in our normal condition. Kindly order us, your eternal servants, what to do now. Please repeat. All the Manus offer their prayers as follows. As your order carriers, O Lord, we the Manus are the lawgivers for human society. But because of the temporary supremacy of this great demon, Hiranyakashipu, our laws for maintaining Varnashram Dharma were destroyed. O Lord, now that you have killed this great demon, we are in our normal condition. Kindly order us, your eternal servants, what to do now. Purport. In many places in Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Lord Krishna refers to the Varnashram Dharma of four varnas and four ashrams. He teaches people about the Varnashram Dharma so that all of human society can live peacefully by observing the principles for the four social divisions and four spiritual divisions, varna and ashram, and thus make advancement in spiritual knowledge. The Manus compiled the Manu Samhita. The word Samhita means Vedic knowledge. And Manu indicates that this knowledge is given by Manu. The Manus are sometimes incarnations of the Supreme Lord and sometimes empowered living entities. Formerly, many long years ago, Lord Krishna instructed the sun god. The Manus are generally sons of the sun god. Therefore, while speaking to Arjuna about the importance of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said, Imam vivasvate yogam proktavan aham avyayam vivasvan manave praha, which means, quote, this instruction was given to Vivasvan, the sun god, who in turn instructed his son Manu. And who did Manu instruct his? Who did he instruct? Yes, Ikshvaku, who is his son. Manu gave a law known as Manu Samhita, which is full of directions based on Varna and Ashram concerning how to live as a human being. These are very scientific ways of life, But under the rule of demons like Hiranyakashipu, human society breaks all these systems of law and order and gradually becomes lower and lower. Thus, there is no peace in the world. The conclusion is that if we want real peace and order in the human society, we must follow the principles laid down by the Manu Samhita and confirmed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. So, at this point, we have Lord Nrisimhadev roaring, growling, making thunderous sounds, expressing his fury, his hostility, his rage over over Hiranyakashipu. This is what has incited this particular type of feeling in Lord Nrisimhadev. Just prior to this, or just prior to the big fight that they have just had, Hiranyakashipu wanted to kill his son. In fact, he had been trying to kill his son through various other means, but he wanted to kill him personally at this point. He had tried to kill him by throwing him off a mountain, by having him pierced by tridents, by throwing him under the hoofs of elephants, by trying to drown him, by feeding him poison, by exposing him to blasting winds, terrible cold, or severe cold, and extreme heat. But in each case, none of these succeeded. And they didn't succeed because Prahlad Maharaj, being a great devotee of the Lord, was totally dependent upon Krishna. He actually personally did not care what happened to his own body. He was only concerned about one thing, and that is expressing his love, expressing his devotion, expressing his service to the Supreme Lord. That is the only thing he had in mind. And he believed that the Lord looked after him at every moment, was caring for him at every moment. And though from a material point of view, it would seem that the Lord had ignored him or neglected him, just the opposite is the fact, because none of the attempts to kill Prahlad Maharaj worked. None of them were successful. All of them failed. And this, of course, created in Hiranyakashipu greater and greater and greater frustration. Why is this child still alive? He was wondering. Where is he getting such power? What is the source of his power? He didn't perform any great austerities. Here he is. He's only a five-year-old boy. And he's able to withstand all these atrocities which he was heaping upon him. So this was very curious and highly frustrating. So he felt, since Prahlad is a human being, and since no human being could stand up to Hiranyakashipu, since he was invincible, he was all-powerful in the material world, that he would kill his son himself, and therefore that would be successful. So he thought. So at one point, he asks Prahlad, "Where do you get your power from?" And Prahlad said, "I get my power from the same place that you get your power from." And what is that? Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu. And then he took his sword and he said, "Is he in this pillar?" And he said, "Yes, he's not only in that pillar, but he's everywhere. Wherever you look, he's there." You see, he's there? Yes, he's there. So he took his sword and he smashed it against the pillar and he said, well, let's see him, let's see him. And out of that pillar came a roaring, vehement sound, and the pillar broke apart, and of course, Hiranyakashipu, Lord Nrsingadev, came out swinging, as we might say, ready for a really great big fight. And one of the reasons that the Lord has incarnated, as we heard from Giriraj Maharaj sometime, about several days back, is that he came to have a good fight, a really powerful fight, a vigorous fight. And so that's what he was really ready for. And little did Hiranyakashipu know that he was actually going to be serving the Lord through this process of fighting. Because this fighting propensity, which we all have in us, men have it a little bit more than women, and we have this tendency to want to fight, to want to wrestle. And so there's a certain pleasure in it. And in the eternal world, in the spiritual world, nobody wants to fight with the Lord because, after all, everyone glorifies Krishna. Everyone honors him and celebrates him and praises him, serves him. So they don't want to fight him. Even if the Lord were to say, I want to fight, just give me that service. It's very difficult to be swinging with all your might at the Supreme Lord, who is one whom you love. It is hard to fight, hard to punch, hard to kick, hard to throw someone whom you love. We see even in the Mahabharata, when Arjuna had to fight against his teacher, Dronacharya, his grandfather, Bhishma Dev, some of his friends on the opposite side, some of the Yadus who were fighting on the opposite side. He didn't want to kill them because he had affection for them. He cared for them. So it's very difficult to pull the bowstring as far back as you can to let the arrow shoot as forcefully as it could if you have this hesitation or you have this restraint. Of course, during the battle, Krishna was continually telling Arjuna, especially in the fight with Dronacharya, who is literally mopping up the field on the Pandu side, he said, try harder, pull the string back. Kill him! Kill him! So he found it very difficult to do this. Consequently, Bhishma Dev started to fire. He started to fire arrows by the hundreds, and Krishna, seeing that Arjuna was in great jeopardy and in danger, he just jumped off the chariot and he was going to fling this wheel, which was lying on the ground, at Bhishma Dev. And he had already promised that he would not enter the fight, which means he would have to break his promise. But we can see that for his devotee, to protect his devotee, to express his affection to his devotee, the Lord can do this. And so Arjuna did not want to let Krishna appear to be like a liar, since he was his friend, since he loved him. So he jumped off the chariot and he grabbed him in a bear hug and told him, no, you made a promise not to fight, and I promise you now I will fight harder, I will fight with more vigor and more enthusiasm, so please don't worry. So he did try harder, but we have to understand that it's really not difficult to kill someone with fury and with zest, someone whom you care for, whom you have feeling for. So therefore, the arrangement was is that the two doorkeepers, Jaya and Vijay, it was arranged that they would be cursed by the four Kumaras, which happened, and that they would be cursed to come down to the material world for no other reason than that they would, well, there were some other reasons too, but one of the chief reasons was that they would get the opportunity to fight with the Lord. They would be covered with the mode of ignorance and the mode of passion. And that's what's necessary. So Hiranyakashipu hated Lord Vishnu because he was covered with this passion and this ignorance. And whenever his little son mentioned Lord Vishnu, whom he considered an enemy because Lord Vishnu had killed his brother Hiranyaksha, Prahlad became one of his chief enemies because he sided with what he believed to be the enemy. So here we have now, the fight has taken place, the fight has ended, and Lord Nrsingadeva is sitting on the throne of Hiranyakashipu, and he's got this garland of entrails around his neck. It's a rather gory sight. But for one who sees it from a transcendental viewpoint, it's actually not gory, because it shows us how far the Lord will go to protect his devotee. As Krishna says, in all activities to us, always depend upon me, work under my protection, and in such devotional service be fully conscious of me. And if you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness, you will be lost. So Prahlad always took the shelter and the protection of the Lord, and as we can see, he got the protection. So in this state that we find Lord Nrsingadeva roaring and raging, all the demigods, they have come down, and they're very happy in one sense, but they're very frightened in another sense. They see that the Lord is raging and roaring, and what to do? How can they pacify him? So one of the ways of pacifying someone who happens to be very disturbed and very upset is to utter glorification and utter appreciations to that particular person. And so this is what we have here. We have a number of the demigods and also saintly persons trying to pacify Lord Nrsingadeva. For example, we have Indra. So Indra, he mentions that we demigods were in a state of gloom and darkness during the reign of Hiranyakashipu, because he took away all the services that the demigods would perform. For example, Indra would normally create the rain, but Hiranyakashipu took that over. And the wind would be taken over by Hiranyakashipu, and the growing of crops, which was done by Mother Earth, he took that over. If he wanted a particular out-of-season fruit to grow, then he would order Mother Earth to produce that fruit. If he wanted rain to come in an unseasonable time, he could and would do that. So the point is this, is that he took away their service. And the demigods, they were out of work. And in those days, there was no place when you were out of work. There was no unemployment office where you can go and then you can get unemployment insurance and rest on that until finally you got your job back. They were out of work, and they were, in a gloomy and a dark situation. So with the destruction of Hiranyakashipu, they suddenly became bright. They become cheerful. They became happy again, because they again would now have the opportunity to perform devotional service. So they appreciate their service, and we too. This is what it teaches us, that our service is not something cheap and something ordinary and something plain. It's something very, very rich and something very valuable and something very, very important. And the more we give importance to the service that we have, the more we appreciate it, and the more we express this appreciation to the Supreme Lord, the more Krishna, the more he appreciates our appreciation. In other words, he also likes to see that the devotees are not taking it for granted, or not taking it cheaply or indifferently or thoughtlessly, but that they are actually giving very great importance to it and valuing it, just as perhaps a miser, upon finding a diamond, would hold it very tightly and close to his or her heart. And so when the devotee considers his service to be so important and valuable, because it's a means to get free of all the miseries of material world. As Krishna says, from the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. But those repeated birth and death take place. But those who, what is the next part of it? Anybody remember? Excuse me? He never takes birth again. Yes. So, therefore, devotional service gives us the opportunity to become free of these miseries which we are heir to, which we cannot help. Miseries which come from our body, miseries which come from our mind, miseries which will come from the intelligence, miseries which come from persons, other living entities, miseries which come from cataclysms and different catastrophes. These miseries are always coming in one form or another. And people are always very, very, very miserable as a result. They lose their homes, they lose their jobs, they lose their relatives, people die, they lose their children. So material life is not a very pleasant thing. Sometimes there's momentary or temporary pleasure, but the pleasure that we receive, it feels, in comparison to the misery feels so much greater when we have it. When you have a case of the flu, you're out for 2 weeks and your head is heavy and you're weak and you can hardly stand up, you cannot do your service. So these are the things that happen in the material world. So what we have here is that the demigods are actually expressing their appreciation to the Lord, and in so doing, they're trying to pacify him by, in effect, saying, we are so grateful and thankful to you for allowing us, for enabling us to have this service. And this service, we are so glad now that our service has been restored and that we can now again resume it and begin to give you the pleasure that you get when we perform this service in a loving, devotional mood. So, as I said, Indra was one of them. Then we have the siddhas. When Hiranyakashipu was alive, he stole away their mystic powers and didn't allow them to manifest them. So they were getting back their mystic powers as a result of this death. And the vidyadharas, who could appear and they could disappear at will, they regained their powers, and they were also thanking the Lord. And we also have the, as we just read, the manus who make the laws. The manus were very glad that people would now have the opportunity to follow the laws as they were dictated to, as they were given by the Supreme Lord and codified by Manu. In other words, the Vanashram system would be in place, and people, upon doing their various duties, would lead to a cooperative society, one in which there would be respect and honor for other human beings, and people could pursue their different dharma and their different occupations in a peaceful fashion, as opposed to always being under fear and anxiety and uncertainty and doubt, which was the case during Hiranyakashipu. Nobody wanted to disturb him or upset him. Nobody wanted to say anything because they were frightened of him, fearful that he would kill them. And he himself says to Prahlad, when I just raise my eyebrows, everyone shakes and shivers as a result. So this was the rule of Hiranyakashipu. He ruled by causing people to be afraid of him. And so the Lord, of course, was most upset by the fact that Hiranyakashipu continued to try to kill his great devotee. And we should understand that whenever somebody offends us, that also upsets the Lord. And unless the person who has committed the offense apologizes and begs for forgiveness, then it is very certain that that person will lose whatever benefits he may have gotten from the Lord in the form of auspiciousness or in the form of material benefits, in the form of spiritual benefits. Everything can be withdrawn and taken away if one offends devotees. So, of course, we should be very careful and very restrained and very thoughtful before committing an offense by our words and by our actions. So this is the important point here, that that the different demigods are trying their very best to pacify the Lord, but they are not at all successful. And that is why in a one to two verses more, they realize that Prahlad Maharaj, who is standing right near the Lord, is very much loved by Krishna, by Lord Nrisimhadev. Lord Nrisimhadev has great affection for him. So they tell him, please, you speak to him. You try to pacify him. I mean, even his wife Lakshmi couldn't pacify him. But because Prahlad Maharaj's devotional activities, devotional service, devotional love was so pure and so steady and so brave and so courageous, he was willing to give up his life for standing for the principle that Lord Vishnu is supreme, is all-powerful, is all-great. He didn't care what happened to him. This endeared him very greatly to the Lord. And as a result of that endearment, he himself, Prahlad Maharaj, could then pacify the Supreme Lord just by his sweet words, by his prayers, and we not only was he loving to the Lord himself and to the demigods, but he loved all beings, including his own father, and as we will see, that he will pray for his father's salvation and liberation, and the Lord will grant him that. Of course, the salvation of Hiranyakashipu is guaranteed after three lives. He was to live three lives in the material world, and then he would return to the spiritual world. Nonetheless, Prahlad Maharaj, not knowing this, saw him as a demon, but even though he saw him as a demon, he saw him as a spirit soul who was completely confused. He was in ignorance, and he had no real understanding, and so he would pray to the Lord to please forgive him for his insults, for his offenses, and please enable him to become purified, and as a result of that, to go back home. And of course, the Lord not only promised that to Hiranyakashipu, but also he said for 11 births back and 11 births forward, all of these persons will achieve, from your family, will achieve salvation. So you need not worry about this. Such is the glory, such is the greatness, such is the amazing amazing potency that this child had to be able to accomplish and to secure and obtain from the Lord. So we can actually see how we can be beneficial to our relatives and to our friends as a result of pure, loving, devotional service. So I'll end here. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Bhagavatam ki jai. Are there any questions or any questions anyone has? Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Change little by little.
true. So, yeah, that's good. I'm glad that you, you know, got those points. And that's a nice thing. At the end of the evening, at the end of the day, I mean, when you're ready to take rest, to sit down and just think about some of the things that maybe we should have done better. Okay.